Amen, amen. So the title on this morning is Seek Me While I May Be Found. And it's coming from Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7. And if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Say amen when you're there. Amen. So Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. You may have your seats. So what does it mean to seek God while he may be found? So on this morning, like many other mornings, we are faced with a divine invitation, but not from man, not from an organization, not from IDF, but from God himself. He says, seek me while I may be found. So when we look at that, that tells us two things. God is available right now, at this very moment. So if you don't know him, seek him on today. He will be found. And the second thing is, there will come a time when he is not available. So Isaiah tells us to call on the Lord while he is near. God never leaves us nor moves away from us, but we often move far from him, or we put up barriers of sin between ourselves and him. So I come to tell you this morning that if you've waited and if you've drifted too far from God, seek him on this morning. Later that you wait, it may be more difficult, or death may come before you seek him. Or God may come to judge the earth before you decide to turn to him. Accept God's generous forgiveness now while you can before it's too late. So God has given each of us a clear choice. We can remain in unbelief, or we can proceed in seeking him and live in eternity with him. So when we look at how the world seeks, a lot of times we seek for money, we seek for fame, we seek for success, we seek for a new job, we seek for a mate or a spouse, but we neglect to seek the Father. The word clearly tells us in Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. So how many of us, when we are in need, do we seek God first? You don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question on this morning. Just think about that. Whenever you need, no matter how small you may think it is, do you look to God first? Do you look to man? Do we come with our hands out saying, I need help, before going to the Father? So when we look at food and earthly treasures, they cost us money, but they only last a short time. You go eat breakfast, lunchtime, you're hungry again. You know it's time to eat again. So it didn't last you long. It lasts you a few hours. It meets only our physical needs. Same with money. We get paid on payday. You pay your tithes, because you pay that first. God gets his first. You pay your bills, and you do whatever else you need to do. But guess what? That money didn't last forever. So God offers us free nourishment that feeds our spirit as well as our soul. So how do we get it? We come to him, as we see that in Isaiah 55 and 1. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye. And then it says in verse 2, it says that we need to listen to him. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And then we also need to seek him and call on him. And we see that in verse 6, where he is saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So God offers salvation to us freely, but to nourish our souls, we must receive it. So even though you sit here in the pews on today, you can hear the words that I'm saying, and you still not receive the nourishment that God has for you on this morning. So you truly must seek him. You must leave out all distractions. If the kids are sitting and bothering you, tell them they need to be quiet and pay attention to the Lord, what the Lord is saying. If the devil is putting thoughts in your mind right now, you're thinking about what you're going to eat when you leave here. Are you thinking about the bill that's due next week and you don't quite have the money for it yet? You need to lay all that aside on this morning so you can hear what God has for you. So just as we would starve without natural food, we would also starve without spiritual food. And we don't want anyone to sit here in the pews come Wednesday, come Sunday, on the prayers Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you still starve your spirit. So you must seek him while he may be found. So our first point is the call to seek. So when we look at that verse 55 and 6 in Isaiah, the first thing he says is seek me. And then if we look at Jeremiah 29 and 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we've already read Isaiah 55, 6 through 7, where it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So when we look at that, seeking is not anything passive. You have to be intentional about when you go to God. When you've lost your keys, especially if you're not at home, you don't just casually glance around looking for them. You diligently seek. You go into the customer service. You looking all around the car. You going and trying to trace every single step. You do it desperately because you know without them you can't move forward. Or else what are you going to do? You're going to call somebody. They're going to come out and rekey your lock. And then it's going to cost you. So in that same way, without God, we are stuck, we are lost, and we are unable to move into his purpose. How many of you want to live and move in God's purpose on this morning? Amen. So seeking God means looking for him in his word. So seeking God in his word means that you come thirsty. You come looking for his glory. You delight in his love. You respond in worship, and you find satisfaction in him. So what that means to me is when we say you come thirsty, you know how it is for those who are in the military, you know, after you did PT or whatever it is, because normally you hydrate the night before because you don't run on a full stomach of water. So what you do, you're going to be thirsty after that run. You're ready to have something to drink, right? So that means you come thirsty for God. You still get replenished and you hydrate the night before, the days before, which means you should be in your word. You should be praying. You should be on your face before God before you come in here so you know your soil is good and you are ready to receive what God has for you on that day. That's the same thing. So you come looking for his glory. You come expecting. What are you expecting on today? Are you expecting healing? Are you expecting to be delivered from something that is holding you back? So you need to come thirsty. You need to come hungry, looking for his glory on this morning. And it says delight in his love. So what that says to me, of course, when praise and worship is going on, it can be so easy to just stand there and look at the people that are singing. And to me, that's not really delighting in his love. Are you really thinking on the things of God in that moment? Because without him, where would we be? Where would you be on this morning without God's love? For me, I probably would be dead somewhere. Not even here. So where would you be without God's love? And then you respond in worship. So what does that look like for you? It doesn't have to look like what someone else is doing. The person beside you might have their hands lifted. You might see another person with their heads just down, and you see the tears flowing from their eyes. But they're in worship. What are you doing? Are you responding in worship? Or are you just looking? Are you a spectator on this morning? Let us not be spectators when we come into the house of worship. And then you need to find satisfaction in him. So what does that mean, finding satisfaction in God? That means that no matter what is going on, no matter what's going on in your marriage, no matter what's going on the job, no matter what's going on anywhere in the world around you, you find satisfaction in the things that God has already done. Because guess what? You woke up this morning. That is a blessing in itself. There are so many people who did not wake up on this morning. So you need to find satisfaction in that and know that he still has purpose and place for you because you are still breathing. And seeking God means calling him in prayer. So you must call unto him in prayer. And that doesn't always mean that God, I need. You shouldn't always go to God with your hand out saying, I need. He is not the genie in the bottle. You need to go to God and say, what is your will for me, Father? How do I do my purpose here on earth? Who have you called me to, Father? Regardless of having a title, who have you called me to? Am I the salt in the world? Am I your hands and feet? Who have you called me to reach? And how can I reach that purpose? I may not be there yet, but how can I get there on this morning? So then you also need to turn from sin and draw near to him. To seek God, you must leave behind what separates you from him and run to what satisfies you in him. So James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So seeking means pursuing God intentionally, not casually. And when we see in Matthew 6:33, it says, make him your first priority. Begin each day with God before anything else. So what that tells me is, and I'm guilty of it myself. I'll be the first one to say I'm guilty. Sometimes I roll out of bed, and it's to look at the time. But then what do? You swipe up and you see all the notifications that came throughout the night while you sleep. And you start looking at every single notification to see what you've missed. But what you've really missed is God in that moment. So we need to seek him before we look at the phone. We need to seek him before our careers. We know we need money here on the earth. We need those resources. But you need to seek God and he'll give you the career that you're supposed to have. We need to seek him before our comfort. Sometimes we can be so comfortable in our lives that we no longer seek him because we think we have it all. We have everything that we need, not realizing that these earthly treasures will be gone one day. And we won't have but one thing, and that is the word of God. So we need to seek him before our comfort. And sometimes that means you might need to stretch yourself as well. We get so comfortable sometimes sitting down and just being a lay member. I know when we first got here, I told my husband, I was like, I'm not serving. I'm about to be a lay member. I ain't doing nothing. They don't know me. Nobody know me when I got here. I'm like, I'm about to sit in these pews and do nothing. Little did I know, the first time the pastor was at our house, he was like, that ain't happening. But I thank God for it. So sometimes that means you have to sacrifice your comfort, as in being comfortable where you are sitting in the pews. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your comfort. It might be hard. You might say, I don't feel like lifting my hands. I don't feel like saying amen. I don't even feel like going to church on Wednesday night. So sometimes you have to make yourself uncomfortable so that God can use you and that you are seeking him. And then sometimes you have to put, well not sometimes, all the times you have to put them before family. Because we know sometimes family can be stressful. They can be stressful. But you have to put God before family and know that the same way that he has kept you, he will keep them. Because I know at one point, and I know the times that he was waking me up with our, we have two older sons, but the times he was waking me up, it was to pray for my son. But I had to get to the point and not just, you know, worrying, but get up and pray and know that, because if you're not there, what are you going to do outside of praying? You can't do nothing else but pray. So not putting my kids and my husband before God. So you have to seek him with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So when we see that, it says with all your heart. So sometimes we can seek him, but it's not with our whole heart. And then we wonder why we don't find him. Because we still have those things, those barriers. It could be sin. It could be worry. It could be doubt. We have all those things in our way, and it prevents us from seeking him with our whole heart. So, not halfway or just moments. Deuteronomy 4 and 29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. If you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." So seeking God isn't about just a single prayer. You know, when you really need him, when that bill is due, when you don't have a job, or your kids are really getting on your nerve, or you feel like you're at that breaking point, then we find time, oddly enough, we find time then to seek God. But when everything is going good, the bank account look good, the house is good, the car is good, the marriage is good, the children doing good, you know how we have no time? You notice how we seem to have no time to pray and during those times? So it's not just a Sunday event. It's not just a Wednesday event. It's not just a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, because I know that the church is praying that I get on and that's my time of prayer. No, you need to seek God for yourself. It's a continual pursuit. So 1 Chronicles 16 and 11, it says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." So intentional seeking isn't about what God can give you, but about knowing him personally. So seeking God, seeking leads to finding his presence, his peace, and his purpose. So imagine this, and most of you have little children, or if you had little children, imagine that your child is lost in a crowd. You don't just stroll around looking. You are frantic. You are wondering, where is my child? You are desperate. You are urgent until you find that child. That is how God longs for us to seek him and how we must respond with urgency. But seeking is about so much more than just calling to him and praying to him. It is about the pursuit of a relationship with him, not just religion. So it's like when you, for those who are married, when you first started dating your spouse, you know how it was, you were courting, you was going on dates, going out to eat, you know, you were getting to know each other, but you still had reservations. You was like, okay, I kind of know you, but we really just associates at this point, because we still really trying to just get to know each other. I might trust you, but I'm going to verify everything that's going on. Until you are around that person, until you really get to know that person, the spirit of that person. I know I laugh because me and my husband do marriage ministry, and I know I used to say at one time, I was like, the gloss and the glitter has worn off. I see you for who you really are. But that's because, you know, when you first start getting to know people, you know, you put on your best face. We all do it. You put on your best behavior. You don't want them to know none of the bad tendencies. You don't want them to know anything. And that's just what we all do. But when we are pursuing that relationship, you know, at some point, they're going to know you for who you really are. And that's just like with God. He sees your heart. He knows your every intention, your every thought before you thought it. So he wants a real relationship, because he knows you, but do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as healer? Do you know him as provider? Because he is all of those things. Do you know him as your banner of victory? Do you know him as those things? So it's about knowing him, because he knows each and every one of us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So it's not so much about him knowing us. It's really about us knowing him and who he is. And it's not just about religion, because we can get into religion and come in here and we get so stuck in tradition. We get so stuck in this is how it was done. For those of us who grew up in church, this is how it was always done. Why change it? But when God is trying to do a new thing, what do you need to do? You need to shift. You need to move. And it's about having a relationship with him. Because just like I was talking about with the spouses, if you don't know your spouse, he could be putting on a smile, but you know deep down inside they're hurting. But if you don't know them, you might go to them in a way that's not helpful at all. So you have to know, and I always say you have to know your people. You have to know how to respond to people, to your people, meaning your spouse, your children, those who God have called you to. You have, and that only comes with having a relationship with them. So it means to long for him, not just to want his blessings, his miracles, or his answers. So we know when we go to our jobs, and I would hope that the job is just fulfilling more than a paycheck, because if you are, if it's not, you're miserable at work. It's the same thing in a marriage. If it's just fulfilling one aspect, you still are not happy. You're still not going to be in a place where God can bless it. So we have to get out of the place of just, you know, with our hands lifted up because we want something, but we have to get to a place that our hands are lifted up because we want God and only God. That if he did nothing else, that is okay, because you are our Father and you are what we are here for. So the Father wants intimacy and fellowship. Psalms 27:8 says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So when I look at that, it's saying, when God said unto me, seek my face, my heart said, I'm going to seek you, Lord. I'm going to seek you. So when David was out in the wilderness, he said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is." So when we look at this, during this time, David longed for a friend that he could trust during his loneliness. God alone can satisfy our deepest longings. The comparison for his need for God to physical thirst in the desert shows God is not just an option. He's not a comfort, although we know he is the comforter, but he is a true necessity for our life itself. So while he was in exile, he recalled seeing God's presence and the greatness of his worship. So during these times, the memories, they fueled his hope. How many of you can think back on a time when God was so good to you that when you were in the wilderness, you knew you were going to come out just fine because you had already experienced his goodness, you had already experienced his greatness. So that's what David was doing. He remembered the times that he could feel God's presence, even though he was in the wilderness and he felt like he couldn't feel him. So he was longing to feel the experience of God's presence again. David declared that life without God's love and presence is empty. So I want to tell you on today, if you feel empty on the inside, there is a God who can fill you so you thirst no more, to you want for no more. He is here on today. All you have to do is seek him. And that doesn't always mean that you have to come up to this altar and seek him. You can be right in your seats right now. You can be in your seats doing praise and worship. You can be in your seat when you just came into the service and seek him, and he can fill you up on this morning. So his natural response was to praise God with his lips. So even in the wilderness, David chose to glorify God. And I know Pastor was talking about, when he was just talking about following the forward leading God, he said, kill it in the wilderness. So you take that time that you're in the wilderness, and if you feel like you can't feel his presence, kill off that sin, kill off every weight that seeks to catch us and keep us. Kill it in the wilderness. It may be fornication. It may be pornography. It may be a lying spirit. You know, we always try to, sometimes we go to the most, you know, exaggerated sins that they are. But it could be something that's so simple that's keeping you from God. You could have a lying spirit. If you have a spirit of greed, and greed doesn't always mean money. People have food sins. So kill it in the wilderness on today so that you can seek the Father. So even in the wilderness, David chooses to glorify God. What our flesh craves in the way of items, such as a hamburger, chips, when we're hungry, our soul finds that in God. So praise flows naturally from this satisfaction. I found that interesting when I wrote it. Praise flows naturally from this satisfaction. It's easy to praise God, even in the hard times, when you know that he is your satisfaction. When it's not money, when it's not houses, not cars, not jobs, it's not family. When we know that God is our satisfaction, we can praise him easily. So point two, why must we seek him now? The scripture says, seek him while he may be found. So that means that there's an expiration date on that opportunity. Just like you go in the grocery store, and I'm like my brother-in-law, because he used to work at Walmart. But, you know, things still do have life after the shelf date that they put on those items. But literally when that date came, he would put the stuff in the trash can. And I'm like, it's still good. It's still good. But just know that when God says there's an expiration date on the opportunity, there is no shelf life past that. So 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you are not saved, if God is not your Lord and Savior, now is the day. Hebrews 3 and 15. Hebrews 3 and 15. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Proverbs 27 and 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we don't have forever. We do not have forever. Don't get caught up in your sin. So Genesis 6 and 3 says, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. And then Genesis 7 and 16 says, and they went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So once God shut that door, the time of mercy was over for those who were left on the outside. That means they didn't have any other time to get it right with God. No one outside could enter. It is a reminder that God's patience has an end. So while we do serve a gracious God, we serve a merciful God, know that his patience does have an end. Then when we look at Pharaoh, he had opportunity after opportunity to release Israel. But God hardened his heart after he continuously disobeyed what was being told to him until judgment came. Don't let that be you on today. So life is short. James 4 and 14 says, beloved, we are not promised tomorrow. Life is a vapor. So we must seek him today while he is near. Opportunities don't last forever. Just like in Genesis 7 when that ark door closed. They were not able to get in there because it wasn't like Moses closed the door. It was not going to be opened again. And then God's spirit will not strive with man always. That's Genesis 6:3. Then 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. And this is coming from the Message Bible. I just wanted to read this one, and I'll read from the King James as well. The Message says, the Antichrist, and this is kind of what we've been also talking, we're talking about this morning in Bible study as well. But it says, the Antichrist coming is all Satan's work. All his power and signs and miracles are fake. Evil sleight of hand that plays to the gallery of those who hate the truth that could save them. And since they're so obsessed with evil, God rubs their noses in it, gives them what they want. Since they refuse to trust truth, they are banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. And then second, this is from the King James Version. It says, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, all with the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this tells us that there will actually be a time wherein God himself will send delusion upon all those who do not believe the truth, so that they will fall for the enemy's lies. Don't let that be you on this morning, church. Don't let that be you this morning. They completely and repeatedly refuse to love the truth, so the door to seek and find the Lord is shut. So that's just like a limited time offer. You know, you see that thing you've been wanting for a long time, then it's on sale. And you're like, if I don't get it now, I ain't going to get it, or I'm going to have to pay this expensive price for it. So salvation's door would not always be open. So point three, how do we seek the Lord? God doesn't just say, seek me. He shows us how to seek him as well. So one, we can seek him through prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee. I remember that song because I grew up in the old church. It said, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. That's what it brought back. So our prayers is a direct line to heaven. Seeking him means prioritizing our time in his presence. Then you should be able to seek him and find him through his word. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we cannot seek him without listening to his voice through scripture. And that kind of goes, you know, along with prayer. You know, a lot of times we pray and we get up and we go on about our day. You didn't even listen to his instructions for what you prayed about. So what do you do? You get up and then you do what you want to do, or what you think you should do. So not only must we pray, but we must listen so that his word can actually guide us to where he wants us to go. Number three is through repentance. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. So seeking God requires turning from sin. You can't serve two masters. You're going to hate the one or despise the other. So what does that tell me? You cannot serve God and still be in sin, practicing sin. We all fall short, but you cannot practice sin and say that you are serving God. So seeking God requires turning from sin. You can't run toward God and hold on to sin at the same time. So number four is through worship and obedience. John 4 and 23 through 24, it tells us that the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So you must seek God in spirit and in truth. Seeking God is not just about singing. It's not about coming in here and just clapping your hands. It's not just about coming in and just sitting in the seat. It's about living a life of surrender. Because sometimes we can sit in these pews and we are going through hell when we leave here. Why do we choose to do such things? Sit in the pews, hear the word that is coming forth, and we go out and we make no changes whatsoever to our lives. We don't apply the word that is coming forth. And our pastors give good word, good sound Bible teaching that if you actually sit, not just hear, listen and apply, your life would be so much better. I can speak that because I can speak it for myself, that my life has been so much better just applying the word that is brought forth in this house. So we have to live a life of surrender. Our kids would be much better if we live a life surrendered to what we heard in here. Do you sit in here and you act one way, and then when you get home, your kids see something totally different? Why coworkers don't follow you? Do you sit in these pews and you act one way, and then on the job, they hear you curse, somebody give a dirty joke, and you laughing? Like, what's funny about it? What's funny? Because that is not the life that you should be living. So we have to make sure that our whole entire life is surrendered, not just Wednesday and Sundays. And then through fasting, can you put the plate down? Can you sacrifice? Not just, you don't just have to fast from the plate. It could be fasting from social media. Are you fasting from the things that you know cause you no good whatsoever? Are you putting those things away? Because social media, even though it can be good, because sometimes I scroll too. I scroll and look at cakes. And sometimes even when I go to decompress, I'll tell my husband I'm going to bed. And then he get like 10 messages in a row from me while he downstairs. And I'm laughing at something I done sent him. He was like, I thought you was going to sleep. So sometimes we have to fast from those things. It might not be even thing that you think is a sin, but it's causing you to put a barrier between you and God. So you have to fast from those things as well. So just like these cell phones that we don't want to put down, I've seen people, we go to restaurants and they have those phones in their hands, and I'm like, they're not even talking to each other. They eating and looking at their phones. And it's a husband and wife, I would presume. I don't know. But if it's just the two of you, I would assume it's a date. And they got the phones in their hands, and they're not even looking at one another. They're on the phone scrolling and eating. So if you're looking for a signal on your cell phone, what do? You move around trying to find that signal. You're like, where is it at? I need to send this text, or I can't look at this video, or whatever it may be. Or where you and then we have a tendency to do this. We lift it up higher. So we think that's going to help the signal. So you can go where the connection is the strongest. So seeking God works the same. We must position ourselves in prayer, in his word, and obedience so that our signal is clear. So points for that one was daily devotion and prayer life, making God first in all of our decisions, surrounding yourself with godly influences. So that's those people, places, and things that pastor always tell us about. You might need to get rid of some people. You can pray for them, but you might need to get rid of some people, some places that you go that you know you don't act like you act in church. You might not need to go to those places no more. And it could be the family barbecue. Maybe you don't need to go to the family barbecue because everybody else there, they get turned up. You know, you got the uncle with the brown bag with the bottle. You know what he doing. You might not need to go to that family cookout no more. And those things that you used to do or you still do, you don't need to do that. You need to turn the phone off, pick up the Bible, and if you got the Bible on the phone and every time a notification comes through, you look at the notification and not read the Bible, maybe you need to get a paper Bible. So surround yourself with godly influences to include the people that you associate with in the church. Because everybody that comes to church is not saved. You should be a witness. You don't need to be participating in the things that are ungodly. So point four, the rewards for seeking him. So God never calls us to seek him in vain. There are blessings attached to seeking him. Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. And you know, a lot of the times we get that backwards. We want the things and then we want God to bless off on the things that we want. He says, seek him first. And when we seek him first, you know what? Like Pastor always said, you won't miss it so much when we seek God first. You know, I've been in that place. I've gotten a car repossessed and I thought I was grown. My daddy gave me a car to drive. Thought I was grown. I went right onto that car lot. I'm like, I'm going to get me a car. Then I went home. I'm like, Daddy, now let's go pick up your car. I got me a car since you didn't just give me a car. That was my thinking at the time. I'm going to go get my own car. Lo and behold, about not even a year later, the car was repossessed because I had lost my job. The car was repossessed. But had I just kept what Daddy gave me, that was something that wouldn't have been on my credit today. Well, not now, but because it was a long time ago. But, you know, that was something that I didn't have to go through had I had listened to my earthly father, but I didn't. So sometimes we go through so much because we don't listen to our heavenly father because we think that we know best. So seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added. Psalms 34 and 10. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. If you seek him, you will find him, for the Lord is merciful. So are you truly seeking him on this morning? So the benefits. You get peace in troubled times. You get provision when it's needed. You get guidance in confusion. Because he said his word is what? Is a lamp. So if you're confused, are you putting the word in that path? And then the most important one is you get eternal life. So those who found Jesus in the gospel, blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, Zacchaeus, they all sought him for healing, deliverance, and salvation. What do you need in healing? What do you need him for on today? What do you need the Father for on today? So the call of God is urgent. It doesn't say seek him tomorrow. It don't say wait until my youth is gone. Because you know when you're young, you think you got so much time. But there is many short caskets in that graveyard as there are long. So don't think that because you are young that you have time. Don't think because you think you're beautiful now and you want to get everything you think out the way before you come to God because you have time. You don't know what tomorrow brings. So seek him while he may be found. There's a door of mercy open unto you on today. But one day that door will close, either by death or by Christ's return. So if you have been delaying, God says, come now. If you've been distracted, God says, return now. If you've been distant, God says, draw near now. So Isaiah 55 and 7 promises that he will abundantly pardon you. No matter how far you've gone, if you seek him, you will find forgiveness and grace. So are you seeking him while he may be found? Or are you waiting until it's too late? So now this is your call for whatever you've been seeking God for. This is your call to repentance, your call to faith, your call to surrender. The altar is open for all. This is your time if you need to seek the Father. You can come and seek him now. You can ask you all to stand. Leaders, you can come up as well. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't delay. Don't harden your heart to the word that God has given unto you on today. Don't wait until it's too late. If you need to seek him because you are going through issues, the issues of life, seek him on this morning. And don't look around, don't wait around for someone else to see that first person move. If you need him on this morning, come and seek him. Seek him for your marriage, seek him for your kids, seek him for salvation if you don't have it on this morning. God wants a yes on this morning.